Radio for a really great future.
We're talking real money.
Wow. It's a new month already. Boy, does time fly. Hi, everyone. Don McDonald here. Another exciting edition of Talking Real Money, the podcast coming up. Today, we're going to take online questions that you've sent in. If you'd like to call in questions, though, you can do so at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. You can send them in, though, just by going to talkingrealmoney.com, clicking the contact form. Okay? Love it if you did that. We want to answer your questions. And today, I'm going to start with a topic that we addressed on our Saturday show that aired as a podcast yesterday. A gentleman by the name of Frank called about a product called SPACs. Now, if you haven't heard of SPACs, I'm not surprised. SPACs have been around for quite some time. They're called blank check funds sometimes. SPAC stands for Special Purpose Acquisition Company. What they are is a shell company. They go public and then they buy up companies that want to go public, but the IPO market may not support them right now. So they acquire some sort of an existing company, and then they start trading often as that company or a conglomeration of some companies. And so in essence, it's an IPO. It's an initial public offering. And we got a call from a guy who really loves them. He's worth a couple million bucks. In fact, let me read you the note he sent after the call, because I want to address this. As you know, I address pretty much everything you guys raise. All right, so the subject is SPACs, of course. The message says, "Hi, Don, maybe you should revisit SPACs. I would agree that Nikola, which is a SPAC merging with Nikola, the trucking company, is speculative. You know, they're making electric trucks, Nikola Tesla. Anyway, I am in with the warrants and watching closely. How about SHLL merging with Hylion? $800 million market cap with $1.5 billion market cap projected after merger. Also in warrants on this one and will be adding on any dips. Was the biggest gainer on the NYSE on Friday. Okay. Firm order for 1,000 trucks and backed by Agility. Okay. FMCI SPAC merging with Tattoo Chef. Tat Chef selling products in Costco and Walmart, et cetera. Another one merging with BurgerFi, et cetera. I don't feel as good about this one. As you said, another burger outfit, but they have great hormone-free burgers, et cetera, and are also growing quite quickly. But again, another burger outfit. I have a net worth of over $2.3 million, so I can stand to lose. Don't think so, however. This, I'm getting to the meat of it. I understand the purpose of your radio show is to get new people signed up for your investment services. No, it isn't. I've been doing it for 30 years, way before I had an investment firm, and it's to help people invest properly in a way that we believe is proper. Invest. Let me continue, though. I shouldn't have gotten... Okay, let me go back. But to diss SPACs seemed a bit disingenuous. I do a tremendous amount of due diligence before investing. I'll report back in 6 months and let you know how I made out. Check these out. You too could make some big bucks. Okay. Frank, I understand your excitement. I understand the emotion. And I see why you're emotional about it. But I am not, this is not disingenuous. This is in absolutely sticking to my beliefs. Because both Tom and I have said, more times than I can count, do not own individual stocks in your portfolio. Ever. Period. Exclamation point. And I'm talking about individual stocks like Apple or Tesla or Amazon or Boeing or Delta or you name it, any of those. And they've been around for a long time. We don't believe in owning individual stocks. Why? because the risk of owning any individual stock is too high, given that you cannot accurately and consistently predict what the future will bring. Yeah, in most cases, most of these companies are going to do just fine. But we'd rather you own them through a diversified portfolio so you don't have to worry about losing all of your investments. I'm happy you can afford to lose, but most people can't. I have not yet met the person who can sacrifice, who is willing to sacrifice their life savings on a venture that has the potential for 100% loss. And I believe that every single issue you discussed, these are in essence initial public offerings. As a matter of fact, we go out of our way to say never, ever, ever participate in an initial public offering. Ever, 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 ever. Because the vast majority of IPOs may do well coming out of the gate. Actually, they don't. The vast majority don't even do well coming out of the gate. But IPOs are notorious for failing. Yes, they do occasionally make people rich, but they also make a lot of people poor. As a matter of fact, Dimensional Funds, one of the groups of professional money managers that we respect most, will not invest in IPOs. They just won't. They own the entire market, but they don't own IPOs. Why don't they own IPOs? Because the risks are too high. They want established companies. And you, as an investor, want established companies, but you want them in mass. You don't want them individually. And you certainly don't want IPOs unless you're a gambler. And I know that those of you who are gamblers don't like to be called gamblers, but that's what you're doing. It's not investing anymore. It's gambling. So will we ever suggest you invest? I was trying to think of another word. Speculate in SBACs? No, we never, ever, ever, ever will. Absolutely not. Oh, and I almost forgot to mention that SBACs collapsed in 2008. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with them until they were reborn again recently. Does that remind you of anything? Yeah, let's see. Collateralized mortgage obligations, collateralized debt obligation, whatever it might be. There are so many hot products that come up from time to time. And if you play with things hot, you're likely to get burned. Got a question? Give us a call, 855-935-TALK, or you can just send them in by clicking on the button and sending a note, which several of you have done. This one is tough. This one is tough. Somebody sent a note about Robinhood, and they have a friend. I'm not going to read you the whole note because it's kind of rambling, but they have a friend who is disabled, who is apparently playing the stock market and has lost a lot of money through Robinhood. And they think Robinhood is inherently bad. Well, Robinhood is not inherently bad, but they're not good either. They don't take from the rich and give to the poor. They take from everybody equally and kind of make money on their own. Even though the trading is free, they're making money, trust me. And they certainly don't discourage people from trading because keeping money moving through their accounts is their bread and butter. So this friend of yours just needs to stop. You can't blame Robinhood. It's their fault. They shouldn't be doing this. Let's get to another question sent in at talkingrealmoney.com. talkingrealmoney.com, talkingrealmoney.com. The contact form, just click on that. And this one is about a CD maturing. My husband and I are 37. We have $190,000 in cash and CDs. When the CDs mature, should we pay off our condo, $120,000 at 4%? Have about $550,000 in retirement accounts. Whoa, you go. 550 at 37, you're doing really, really well. But no, do not pay off your condo. Although, you're getting, you know, if 15-year rates get down, well, actually, they're probably there right there about now. I don't know exactly where they are. You might want to even look into a cheap refinance. If you can find a cheap refinance with few closing costs and get down to 2.75% on a 15-year note, woohoo, that'll put a little extra money in your pocket. But I wouldn't pay off the house because it's illiquid. Houses are illiquid. Condos can be even more illiquid. Condos are dramatically illiquid in a bad market. So no, I would not pay it off, but I would try to find a way to reduce the cost, and I would go and invest it. Make sure you have enough in cash, you know, that you can get through emergencies, and then invest some, just like you've been doing for retirement. And you guys are going to be super comfortable the way you're going. Let's go and do one more before we call it a podcast. This is about a high expense 401k versus a taxable account. I'm a 49-year-old security guard making $12 an hour, 25 grand gross, contributing $200 per pay period. Wow. $5,200 a year to my 401k with a balance of $148,950.99. Let's round it to $149,000. I max out my traditional IRA, but my 401k doesn't have a match and has R2 share classes of American funds with expense ratios of 1.53%. Your trustee, your business owner, should be flogged for going with that broker. I've lowered what I've contributed to my 401k so I can put more in a taxable account, but I was wondering if you have a guideline on whether I should continue to contribute to the 401k. The Bogleheads Forum has noted that the tax advantages of investing in a 401k are greater than the expense ratios. Maybe. And if I were to separate from my job, I could roll over my 401k to a lower cost IRA option. Yes, you could. But I don't see myself leaving my job in the foreseeable future, and right now seem to be counting on turning 59 so I can do an in-kind transfer. Also, if I did stop contributing to my 401k, I'd still be paying fees on the current balance, right? Yes. So, this is one of those quandaries, but it's actually not too difficult. One, you're 49 years old. Haha. Next year, you can increase your contribution to your traditional IRA. I probably wouldn't do traditional. I'd probably do a Roth IRA, and I'd probably do it with somebody like Vanguard. You, next year, can go to $6,500. I don't think they're raising it, but they might. $6,500 a year into your Roth IRA. Step one, that solves part of this problem. For the rest of it, though, you don't need big tax advantages. First, bear in mind, you're in growth-oriented mutual funds through American funds. You gave me the names of all of them. So they don't distribute a great deal of capital gains or much income. Plus, you're in a low tax bracket, so you're not going to pay any taxes on those. So what's the benefit of the tax deferral? Doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. As a matter of fact, it may even be a detriment to you. Yeah, a detriment, because when you take money out, you have to pay taxes at your income rate. So the deduction doesn't really do you any good, right? Because you don't make enough to pay taxes. And the deferral doesn't do you any good. And yet you're going to pay taxes when it comes out. I would, if I was you, I would put everything I could into a Roth IRA every year so it grows tax-free. Then you won't have to worry down the road. I would then, over and above that, I'd probably stop the 401k. You don't have a match. I don't see any benefit. The expense ratio is outrageous. Far and away more than any tax advantage I can imagine. So I think you should go taxable. I think that you should probably build a portfolio at Vanguard using the Vanguard Total World Stock Index, maybe along with the bond fund again, because you're not in a high tax bracket. You're cutting off your financial nose to spite your tax face, or is it the other way around? You don't need tax breaks. Go take our risk quiz. Figure out how much risk tolerance you can stand, and then be as aggressive as you can stand with the Total World Stock Index for part of it, which is very tax efficient. It generally distributes very little in the way of taxable income. And again, you're in the lowest of low brackets. And then with a little bond fund, and again, the yields are so low, you're not going to get big distributions. You don't need tax-advantaged products right now, really. So that's what I'd do. Your 401k stinks, though. Wow. That kind of expense. That is really deplorable. That's really deplorable. Your boss should fire whatever idiot they have. It's whatever brokerage house who's running that 401k for him or her. Bad. You have a question? Call them in 24-7 to 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255, or send them in at talkingrealmoney.com. And if you have a more complex need, you really need some help, well, we offer this to everybody. Sit down with one of our advisors. We're not going to charge anything for a meeting, and we're not going to try and sell you anything either, like most firms do. You're just going to get information, because that's what we believe in giving. Because we found that by helping you, we get business down the road. Folks like you, even if you never become a client, you'll tell your friends, and you've been doing it, and we appreciate it. So go online to TalkingRealMoney.com, set up an appointment. Also, check out our new site for our investment advisory business that I just finished designing. It still has a few tweaks that need to be done, but it's kind of cool. And that's at Vestory.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com, Vestory.com. Thanks for listening. Please tell friends, lots and lots of them, because we really want everybody to listen to this podcast and stop listening to some of the other bad ones. There are some good ones out there, but not very many. Really. So tell everybody, okay? Thanks for listening. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again really soon. I'm Don McDonald.
Talking Real Money. We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for educational and hopefully enjoyable purposes only.
Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times.
Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately, consistently predict the future.
So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring.
Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities.
Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Vestory, a fee-only registered investment advisor.
Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures.
That's a wrap.